Good morning and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Ryan Smithy. So thankful that you have been able to join us as we continue in our study of the Old Testament. And certainly encourage you even this morning to join us in the book of Micah as we continue to look at some of these prophets that were calling out to God's people with that very similar theme, repent or perish. And so we'll be looking at Micah here in just a moment. Want to remind you that the 14th annual Schertz Lectures are going on this week. Certainly love to have you here on the Gospel Radio Network, but also remind you that those are airing even this week on the Online Academy Biblical Studies, OABS, and you can look them up there and find the live stream of that event. Also be looking for it right here on the Gospel Radio Network as part of the Tolstar Archives. And so we're excited about that opportunity as well, and hopefully have those added here very soon. And so as we enter into November, things begin to start kind of dying down as far as gospel meetings and other events. And so we want to remind you of that, and that's really all that we have on the calendar before us at this time. And so we'll turn our attention to the Old Testament book of Micah. Micah is prophesying in what is somewhat known as a golden age of Hebrew prophecy. You look at this time and you have Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Micah, and Isaiah that are all prophesying right around this time. And so really a height there of prophecy. It's an interesting time because Israel and Judah have enjoyed a time of really some prosperity. They've enjoyed a time of relative peace, but that has brought them into their present condition. And that's what Micah is going to be calling out against. Their prosperity and this peace has led to their problems of materialism, pride, selfishness, oppression, immorality. And so that peace is going to be replaced with judgment. And these prophets are warning them, repent or perish. It is time to change. You enjoyed the physical prosperity, but you allowed that prosperity to draw you away from God. And it's time to turn back to Him. It's past time to turn back to Him. In fact, Micah is prophesying here probably around 738 B.C., shortly after Isaiah has begun his prophecy. And we stop and think, we're only about 17 years from the destruction of Israel as they're carried away into Assyrian captivity. And Micah is going to be warning Judah, you will face a similar fate, a similar judgment, if you do not change. We find there in Micah 1 and verse 1 that he's prophesying in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And he's going to start with the coming of God in judgment against Israel and Judah because of their grievous sins. Now, his focus is towards Judah. He's telling them, look at what's happening to the north. This is what's going to happen to Israel, and this is what's going to happen to you, Judah, if you continue in the same path that your sister is taking. So we stop and we think about Micah. He follows a very similar pattern as many of the other prophets, this idea of judgment for sin, but also of hope. And so, Lord willing, join us again tomorrow, and we'll talk more about that. Today's more the judgment, the doom, and the gloom. But we're reminded here in the beginning of his work of sin and sorrow and suffering, judgment because of that sin. Tomorrow, as he begins to close, then we can look at hope, we can look at joy because of the salvation of God. And so a people that if they would turn back to God, if they would trust in him, could have that hope, could have that joy once again, but right now are facing judgment. We think about Micah, and maybe we relate a little Micah to Amos. Others have noted he's certainly not Isaiah the prophet. He's not a polished speaker. In fact, it seems in a sense there are abrupt transitions as you go through his text. Some have styled him a farmer preacher, kind of like Amos. He says, hey, I was down tending to my herds and to the orchard, and God called me up to Israel. He told me to give you this message. Amos says, I'm not a professional speaker. I'm not a professional speaker. I've come to do the will of God. And I see that here within Micah as well. He's coming in this dark time. You've enjoyed peace and prosperity, but that's all changing. You misused and you abused that which God had entrusted unto you, and so you've turned away unto idolatry. You've allowed your faith to be shaken. You have entered into spiritual fornication, and you are facing destruction. And so he comes, and he is going to be very blunt. He's very truthful to them. This is what you are facing. He also, in contrast there, we talked about maybe in terms of Isaiah, he's not as polished of a speaker and a writer, but certainly here also a difference in the circles. Isaiah is going to be speaking more among the kings of Israel, certainly speaking to the people, but is moving around in a higher class, if you will, political class and rank. Here Micah's among the people. He's going to be the champion of the lower class because he's going to be pointing to rulers that are still trying to live in luxury at the cost of the lower class. You're feeding off them. You're stealing from them. You are mistreating them. And so reminds them of judgment because of how that they are living. And so he's going to be crying out against their spiritual decay and be willing to call out the princes, the prophets, the priests, and yes, even the people to tell them of their certain destruction. We see within Micah as well that which we oftentimes see in the prophets, and that's this uncompromising, unyielding stand for the truth. When it comes to truth, they are severe, they are bold, and yet they're also loving and tender and kind. You've got to remember, they're coming with a very bold message. Why? Because they want to see change in the people of God. Most of these prophets are getting around to the point, there's hope. There's hope if you will trust in God. There's hope if you will do things God's way. But that's the one and only way and reason in which there is going to be hope. Many have pointed out, or some have pointed out, even Micah is like the reminder of Proverbs 13 and verse 15. The way of the transgressors is hard. You've got difficult days ahead of you, but it's because of your sin, it's because of your transgression. Their only hope, again, is going to be turning back to God. And so, again, these prophets are bold and uncompromising in truth, but they're doing it for a reason, for a purpose, and that's to bring about a better change, a better future in God's people. And so they weren't going to ignore sin. They weren't going to turn away a blind eye to sin. They weren't seeking to please people. They didn't really care, in a sense, what the people around them thought. Well, that's not a popular message, or people don't want to hear that today. They're like Paul as he writes into Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, you preach the word and be instant in season and out of season, whether they want to hear it, whether it's popular or whether it's not. You go forth and you preach God's word, as Paul would say in Galatians 1 and verse 10, am I trying to please God or am I trying to please men? I can't please men and be the servant of God. We've got to go forth into a world of lost souls with a message of the gospel. And it's not always popular because it condemns sin that man is living in. And they don't want to hear a message of condemnation, but yet we condemn the sin and provide the hope that's found within the pages of the gospel. And so that's the hope. It's telling them, you're about to reap what you are sowing. That's another principle we see time and time again on the pages of the Bible, especially in the prophets. You are reaping that which you have sown. If you want to sow something, or if you want to reap something different, it's time to start sowing to faithfulness, to godliness. And we need to remember that in our lives today. If we're sowing to worldliness, don't be surprised when that is what we then turn around and reap. And indeed, that's what they were going to find. Here, as we mentioned, some 17 years, Israel's carried away into captivity from the time that he would begin prophesying, roughly anyway. Here, Assyria is going to come and take Israel into captivity. Judah's going to begin even to face some threat from Babylon, and eventually would be carried away. They will escape, of course, the destruction that Israel gains, but it's not far. It's not far behind that even God's people in Judah will suffer a like fate if they don't learn from this history. And indeed, we know with the benefit of looking at this side of those activities, we know that indeed they do not repent and they do not change, even though they see these things come to pass, just as the prophets had said that they would. And so we're probably going to look at Micah in very big chunks here. We're looking, trying to, especially this morning, look at Micah chapter 1 through 3. And particularly, we're going to notice the word hear. Micah is calling on the people, listen. It's time to listen up, because you are going to be suffering the consequences to which you have sown. And so it's time to listen to God. Don't turn a deaf ear. Don't ignore the problems. Don't just think this is going to go away. No, it's time to hear. It's time to listen. And we all need to be reminded it's time to listen to God. There's going to be consequences if we do not. And so here, let's look particularly in chapter 1, and let's look at the warning that's going to be given here. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. And so this is a prophecy concerning both the northern and the southern kingdoms. Hear. There's our key word that we're going to notice here in Micah in these first three chapters. You need to listen up. Hear, all ye people. Hearken, O earth, and all that therein is. Let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. He's urging them, will you listen to what God has had or has to say? He's warning you that this is what's going to come to pass, and don't again turn those blind ears. Why am I calling upon you to listen? Verse 3, for behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. There is a destruction. There is a punishment that is going to come for your rebellion. Verse 4, the mountain shall be molten under him. The valley shall be cleft as the wax before the fire, as the waters that are poured down in a steep place. I hope we're getting the imagery there. This is going to be catastrophic. God is coming in judgment. He is the God that has created all things. He is the God that sustains life. He is the God that they had turned away from. And they cannot think that they are going to enjoy some kind of protection because they think that they are the people of God when they've turned away from him. Neither can they trust in their natural defenses or their national defenses, again, because you're dealing with the God of all creation. When he sets your judgment against you, or sets his judgment against you, you will not escape. We got to talk about that when we looked at Obadiah, and he's warning Edom, don't think that you can trust in your physical defenses. and that somehow the cleft in which you dwell is going to keep you safe. Because remember, we're talking about the God of heaven. And so here's this punishment that is coming. It's specifically, we're going to see, directed towards Samaria, the capital of Israel, verse 5 through 7. It's going to be destroyed because of the sins of that nation. He says, "For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel." What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? "Therefore I will make Samaria as a heap of the field, and as plantings of a vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof, and all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate, for she gathered it of the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot." Here's the destruction that is coming for you. All of these things are going to be destroyed, and all of those things that you're trusting in are going to fail you. I will tear you down. I will leave nothing behind because of your transgressions. And notice what he's going to conquer over. He's pulling down the stones. He's going to discover the foundations, verse 6. The graven images are going to be beat to pieces. The idols are going to be laid desolate. There's nothing that you're trusting in now that's going to give you hope or comfort when this happens. And so you're trusting in the wrong thing, and you have forgotten God. And so that's the warning. But the warning really is not so much directed to Israel. Israel has her prophets. Israel has those who are warning her. The warning ultimately is unto Judah. That's what's going to happen to your north. This is what's going to happen to your sister Israel. But now there's also going to be mourning. Because Judah, you also are going to be recipients of God's judgments. Verse 8 and 9. "Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. For her wound is incurable, for it is come unto Judah." "He has come unto the gate of my people, even unto Jerusalem." And so you're looking here and you see it's not just the people of the north that are going to have this happen to them. It's not just them who are going to suffer. This is even spilling over into the south. And so Micah is wailing because why? Well, verse 9, "The wound of Israel is incurable." There is a sense here in which they've passed that point of no return. The hope is gone from Israel. But that sin, their transgressions, have influenced, and it has come down even unto Judah. And so, Judah, it's time for you to watch. Judah, it's time for you to wake up. Perhaps there is yet even hope. Don't give up. Think about what God is telling you. And that's why we find here Micah calling out to the people, will you listen? Will you hear what God has to say? And so, as you look here, the destruction of the cities of Judah is going to be typical, even of the fate of the kingdom. Look at verse 10. "Declare ye not at Gath, weep ye not at all. In the house of Ephrah, roll thyself in the dust," there's weeping. "Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sepher, having thy shame naked, the inhabitant of Zenaan, come not forth in the morning of Bethazel. He shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Meroth waiteth carefully for good. But evil came down to the Lord under the gate of Jerusalem." There was hope. but even destruction is coming to the cities of Judah. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Therefore thou shalt give presents to Moresheth-Gath. The houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Maresha. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel. Make thee bold, and poll thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from thee. And so even some destruction is coming. Some judgment is coming against these cities of Judah. Even as the warnings have gone forth, destruction is coming for Israel. Judah, don't think that you are going to escape. Even as the north, northern kingdom goes away, Judah began to suffer. There were beginning to be consequences for the choices and the actions and the decisions that they had made. And we're seeing these things now being poured out. Chapter 1 gives that warning then, that warning for disobedience, for her rebellion. And we really begin to see even a little deeper the reasoning why. One of the things we've mentioned before, even as in the prophets, is they did not just come forth with these warnings. This is what's going to happen. But they're telling them this is why these things are going to happen. They point out their sin. They point out their transgressions. They show them, this is the thing that you have done. And that's what we begin to see here in chapter 2. We begin to see those men of power, verse 1 through 5 of chapter 2. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away, so that they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which you shall not remove from your necks. Neither shall you go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How he hath removed it from me. Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. This is the destruction that is coming even upon those who are powerful. And so you look, what are you doing? Verse 1, these are a people that lay on their beds at night thinking of what evil it is that they can do and what they can accomplish, and they wait for the morning that they can go and do it. They are devising iniquity. They are working it out in their minds as they think about it at night, and they look for the light that they can go forth and practice it. And why do they do this? Because the power to do it's in their hand. Because they can. This is that wickedness that has grown. They don't care about what God thinks. They don't care about what is right and what is wrong. They don't care about their fellow man. They don't care about who they are hurting. They go forth and practice iniquity simply because they can. And that's the wickedness, that's the evil that is seen in them. They are covetous, verse 2, and they are willing to take what they want by violence. You see, they're not only wishing evil upon someone else because someone has what they want, they're willing even to go by violence, take it what it is that they want. And so they are taking houses, they are taking lands, they are oppressing a man and his heritage. They are taking everything that they have away from them. And so he says, I'm going to devise an evil that you will not be able to remove from off of you because of your wickedness. The pleasures that you have had, the peace that you have had, the comfort in which you have dwelt, all of that's going to be taken away. It will be no more. You're going to be spoiled because of your sin. He condemns the prophets, the false prophets, that have spoken easy things to them, who have tickled the ears of the people and lied to them. Look here in chapter 2, verse 6 through 11. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely, as men averse from war. The women of my people ye have cast out of their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the Spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. And so there's a condemnation there. There are prophets that are going forth, and we've seen this with other of the prophets that are saying, here are the people that are telling you peace and security and comfort and hope, but they lie to you, and they're going to face their own judgment. It seems there are some that are saying unto Micah, your words are harsh. These things are not popular. These things are not good. Well, you know what Micah tells them in verse 7? My words do good to them that walk uprightly. If you were walking as you should, the words of condemnation of evil would not disturb you. But you're not walking uprightly. That's the only reason these words trouble you, because you recognize what it is that you are doing and that you do not walk uprightly. And so because of your iniquity, because of your sin, because of your false prophesying, you are going to face these judgments. You who have taken away these things and the possessions of others, and thought to rest. Notice even there in verse 10 that stood out, the idea that these things that you have taken, that's not your rest. Friends, what defines your rest? A lot of people look for the things of this world. Oh, if I had a better salary. Oh, if I had more possessions. Oh, if I had a more comfortable home. There's my rest. Oh, if those things aren't destroyed in this world, you know what? One, we can't take them with us. And two, they're all going to be burned up one day. It's not your rest. My rest is in eternity with God. That's where we can take our rest, Revelation 14 and verse 13. That's the rest that we ought to be looking for. It's not tied to the possessions of this life, and certainly not those possessions that we have gained by an evil influence or by evil practice. And so these false prophets, you've taken your rest, but it is polluted and it will destroy you. So you have lived in falsehood. But yet there is some hope. Deliverance to the remnant of Israel that remains faithful unto God. Verse 12 and verse 13. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make a great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come upon them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. There's going to be deliverance to the people of God that will humble themselves unto God, those that would walk with him And so, yes, there's a destruction coming, but even out of Israel, there's a remnant that the Lord is going to save. One day that's going to be true of Judah as well. But there's this warning. Judgment's coming upon Israel, destruction's coming upon Israel, and their sin has spilled down even unto Judah, and Judah, that destruction's coming upon you if you don't stop what you're doing, if you don't turn from the false prophets and listen once again to God, if you don't turn from your idolatry, if you don't turn from your iniquity and the things that you are doing, then you surely are going to face destruction. Now we see the crimes and punishment of the wicked and powerful men. Look in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel. Hear," that's that word again, "hear, listen to me. Is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil? Who pluck off their skin from off of them and their flesh from off of their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off of them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron? Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doing." How wicked are the rulers of this people? They're described here in these four verses as cannibals who have eaten up the people of God. You have taken from them, you have abused them, you have mistreated them, and God will not listen when you cry out unto him because you have rejected him and you have fought against his people. And so that vivid description there of this people, these rulers, the heads of Jacob, the princes who should have known judgment and justice and good, and yet what do? They hate the good and they love the evil. And they have consumed the people of God. These rulers, priests, and prophets, again, are identified as the leaders who have led the people into this crime, these false prophets as well who have deluded the people, all will receive their just punishment. Look here in verse 5 through verse 11. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, "Peace!" And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, and you shall not have a vision. It shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine. The sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, "Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us." The wickedness again. You have the false prophets who are deluding the people. You are going to receive your just judgment. God is going to show your falsehood, that they have followed after lies. He is not going to answer you. He is not going to prophesy through you. He's not going to speak through you. He also speaks to these leaders, and you have led the people in these crimes. You abhor judgment. You hate it. You pervert equity. Instead of seeking after doing that which is right, you seek to pervert justice. You're building up Zion with blood, Jerusalem with iniquity. All of this are the things that you have done. And what's your motive? What compels you to do these things? You judge for reward. you teach for hire, and you divine for money. What's in it for me? Who's the highest bidder? That's the attitude of the leaders of God's people at this time. We see from time to time the corruption of government officials who are willing to take bribes, and we can certainly make jokes about maybe that's much more widespread than we would even imagine. There are certainly a few every now and then that are caught. But that's what God's people are doing. The judges that are to be there looking out for the good of the people, that are supposed to be there ensuring that God's will is followed, you're judging for reward. I'll allow the wicked to succeed if the wicked will turn again and line my pockets. The priest, you're willing to teach for hire. Oh, I'll tickle the ears of those who will pay well. You don't want to hear of sin, and you don't want to hear condemnation for your actions. That's okay. We can speak of the good things. We can speak of the blessings of God. We can speak of how He has granted you these things even while you continue in your sin. As long as you pay me enough. That's the attitude of the priest who are supposed to be speaking up and being servants of God. The prophets who ought to be going forth simply with the idea of thus saith the Lord. This is what He has said. This is how you apply it to your life. Instead, are going about divining for money. What's in it for me? What can I gain? What do I get out of it? If there's a good enough fee involved, I'll tell you what you want to hear. Instead of preaching the Word of God. And they lean on the Lord. Said, oh, we're servants of God. Oh, we're a people of God. Nothing's going to happen to us. Look, here's the temple of God, and we are His children. We are His people. We are His nation. That's what He wanted you to be. But instead, you have turned from Him. You're not the people of God because you turned from God. You rejected Him. There was coming a time in which God would turn against them and all would be destroyed. Micah is one of the earliest prophets that will begin to speak about the destruction of Jerusalem because of your sin. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Don't be like your sister to the north. Don't follow her into her destruction. But they refuse to listen. Therefore, chapter 3 and verse 12, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. There's a destruction coming. The sin that you have walked in is going to come back upon you. You are going to have to face the consequences of what you have done. And so again, will you listen? Will you hear? As I cry out unto you, because right now, your sin is growing. Right now, you are growing ripe for destruction. You know, we look at Israel, we look at Judah, and we see the prophets, and they're calling out unto the people. Will you listen? Will you hear? And we shake our heads as they refuse to, and wonder, why did they allow themselves to go into destruction. Friends, it's easy to look back on them seeing that history. But let's turn the prophets on ourselves and ask, do we not at times do the same thing? We don't always want to hear what God has to say. We don't always want to change our lives when it's pointed out that we're living contrary to what God would have us to be and have us to do. There are a lot of people that want to take comfort in the fact, well, I'm a child of God. Are you living as He would have you to live? Well, no, but I obeyed the gospel once. I haven't always continued to live faithfully, but I call myself a Christian. There are those that have deceived themselves, James would talk about. James 1 and verse 22, as he talks about be doers of the word and not hearers only. What? Deceiving your own selves. You're going to be the people of God, and yet you won't listen and do what He says. You've deceived yourself. You think that you have done some great thing, but your religion is in vain. We're like those that Jesus would talk about at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. As He gave that warning, He says, there's a wise and there's a foolish man. The wise man's going to hear these things of mine and do them. The foolish man's going to hear these things of mine and do them not. Hear. Listen. That's what Micah's telling us here in these first three chapters. It's time for you to listen. It's time for you to hear. But sadly, there's going to be many, as Jesus will address there in Matthew 7 and verse 21. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that gives lip service shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You're not the people of God because you're not doing the things of God. That's the message that the prophets began to tell Israel and Judah. It's time for you to hear. It's time for you to listen. It's time for you to do. That's what they needed to hear. It's like, as well, as we've mentioned, even 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul tells Timothy, you preach the word, you be instant in season and out of season, you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy, go forth and preach the word because they need to hear it. Because the time's coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's where the prophets are at. They don't want to endure sound doctrine. That's where we find ourselves sometimes. We don't want to endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. People of the prophets' day didn't want to listen to Thus Saith the Lord. They didn't want to hear of justice and judgment and destruction and these things that were going to come upon them. Those were not popular topics. They didn't want to hear of them. They wanted to silence the true prophets of God, and they wanted to listen to those false prophets that would tickle their ears, that would tell them smooth things and things that they wanted to hear. Micah didn't do that. True prophet of God didn't do that. Paul didn't do that. Timothy didn't do that. He said, here's what God says. And it's plain, and it's honest truth. Who are we willing to listen to? Who are we going to follow after? False prophets, the easy, the smooth sayings, are those that will proclaim, hear the word of the Lord and go forth and do it. That's it. That's the challenge to us. That's what I see when I look at the prophets. I see a people that grew soft because they enjoyed some luxuries for a little while. They came to trust in themselves. They came to trust in their possessions. They came to trust in their peace. And they forgot God. They forgot His will. And they went so far that they refused to listen and turn back to God. Let's be a people that are always determined. I want to hear what God has to say, and I want to go forth and do it. I want to live as that faithful Christian that one day I can rest from my labors, and my works will follow me. Oh, there's so many great lessons we learn as we look through the prophets. We skim here and we see Micah opens. And he opens with a message of doom and a message of destruction. There's not a lot of hope. Except for that tiny remnant we read about there. Otherwise, there's not a lot of hope that Micah gives in these first three chapters. Fortunately, as we'll continue to study, Micah does turn. He is going to present some hope because there is a coming Messiah. We'll see that tomorrow, Lord willing, Micah 4 and 5, the coming Messiah. And then on Thursday, Micah 6 and 7, there's compassion, there's joy, there's salvation that's provided by God. Yes, destruction, but hope. Hope for the future and ultimately hope for those that will trust in God. And so let's be those people who are determined to hope and to trust in God. Again, certainly thankful that you have joined us this morning. Always glad when we have the opportunity to open the pages of God's Word together and study therefrom. And as we sign off for the day, we hope that you have a great day. Hope that you keep listening right here on the Gospel Radio Network.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.